Freight Efficiency with NACFI's Mike Roth and Friends.
Here in episode 16, we're joined by Jack Roberts, senior trucking editor and freight futurist, where we talk about the technological changes he has seen in trucking over the years. But here we focus on the development of autonomous trucking and how it can address some of the core inefficiencies in the trucking industry. He also gives advice to fleets on how to handle innovation. Today we have joining me Jack Roberts, senior trucking editor and freight futurist. I suppose we've been friends for around 10 years or so, and that's about 11 years ago when I left Navistar and helped to start up NACFI. Did we meet before or after that, or do you remember?
I seem to remember meeting you at some Navistar events before you left. I tend to remember they kind of had you in the background as one of the policy guys they would toss the tough questions to when the suits didn't know the answer. But yeah, after you went to work for NAFSI, and that was a whole new organization with a whole new, really interesting mission. We certainly started talking and realized we shared a lot of the same interests and had a lot of the same thoughts about the way this very important industry that we're in is sort of growing and evolving, and everything kind of went from there.
How did you get involved in journalism and in reporting and following trucking?
Yeah, it was weird. I could always write. Me and my best friend could throw, could always throw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. And, you know, sometimes you think, gosh, why couldn't I have been as talented at hitting a little ball into a hole or, you know, knocking baseballs out of a park? But I could always write. In fact, I just never really thought about it as a very special skill. It came so easily to me. And when I finished college, I initially thought I was going to go in the military. You know, you learn about yourself when you're in college, and I sort of realized I had more in common with Keith Richards or Hunter S. Thompson than Chuck Yeager. And I'd always loved cars. I loved cars. I loved airplanes, boats, tractors, anything that moves. I've always been fascinated with. And I started casting around for a job, and there was this little publishing company here in Tuscaloosa that was looking for a entry-level equipment editor. And I had taken history in college just because I love it. And instead of getting a journalism degree, which would be more practical, and I also had an English minor. And so I literally applied for this job using my college term papers as the clips I submitted. And a really cool lady named Marcia Gruber, who was my first boss and mentor, took a chance on me. And I never looked back. And that was in late 95. And early in 96, they came to me and said, you're doing pretty good. We need someone to cover trucks. Would you be interested? And I said, absolutely. And I've never looked back.
Yeah, it gets in our blood. I think it's a combination of, you know, history, moving goods is sort of a, you know, a consumer kind of thing. So, it's relevant to all of us. And then I just think it's, you know, and we'll get into this. It's a complex industry that isn't for the faint of heart. Following these announcements, events, you know, you've been always had a knack for looking into the future. And as these manufacturers in particular have press releases and so forth, I got to believe you've been at some really cool events, some really fun announcements. You know, look back over your career and somebody ask you, give us three really cool things and events and announcements. What would they be?
Yeah, you know, the first thing I went to, it was really one of my earliest press conferences, and it was my first truck press conference, was the launch of the Volvo VN, which is still on the road in a vastly more modern, updated form to this day. And, you know, you flash forward through the years, I saw the launch of all sorts of new products, the Freightliner Coronado. I saw, you know, Navistar bringing out new products. And then, you know, one day, flash forward, you know, 15, 20 years down the road, you're standing, you know, by the Hoover Dam watching an automated Freightliner Inspiration truck drive itself across the top of this monumental structure. And so, yeah, you're right. I have seen phenomenal growth and evolution from the get-go. And, you know, it's just been technology-driven really from the minute I decided this is what I was going to do with my career and my life and cover this industry.
This last April was the 50th Earth Day, And I was also preparing to give an SAE Buckendale lecture. So back in April, May, and partly because I was stuck at home, right, at COVID, I ended up calling a bunch of older folks asking about, you know, the history of trucking. And, you know, even for myself, who've been in it since the late 80s, I was surprised with how much innovation trucking has had back in, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s and onward. And so it is a real technical, even though some look at trucks and go, well, I haven't changed in the years. What's new about a truck? But it really has had a lot of innovation that we've dealt with. And it seems like it's speeding up going into the future.
Yeah, you know, when you asked me to do this, I started thinking about some of the early things I saw. And one of the big early stories for me was around 2000 or so, Navistar and Eaton teamed up and they debuted the first hybrid vocational trucks. These were class 6 and 7 work trucks, the Navistar brand, and they had these massive battery packs underneath, and we went to see them, and it was pretty crazy stuff at the time. You know, the truck would run on electric power up until about 30 miles an hour when the diesel engine would kick in, and it had these, you could run the bucket, a bucket truck, for example, without idling the engine. And it was fascinating stuff. And I remember at the time the readers mainly kind of being confused by all this. It was like, well, yeah, you can do this, but kind of what's the point? It's not a quantum leap above what we already have, you know, pollution and idling aside. And then about the same time, I started getting some light duty trucks to write about. One of the perks of being an editor is you sometimes get vehicles to drive for a week or two and evaluate. And at the time, General Motors, the Denali brand, they were experimenting with four-wheel steering systems and all sorts of innovative stuff. It was the advent for the first time we were starting to get GPS built into the dashboards and stuff. And so it wasn't until I was prepping for this interview with you that I realized that the technology was starting to blossom even then, that the impact of smaller, more powerful onboard computers was already being felt. And, you know, it was the beginning of a trend that has only accelerated through the course of both of our careers today, where now we're talking about trucks that can drive themselves up the road, as well as concepts that were completely unknown at the time. The Uberization of freight, for example, blockchain. There's just so much happening, and the rate of change is exponentially fast, and it gets faster every year. And people are confused. People can be concerned. People can not know what to make of all this, which brings us back to what NAFSE does for this industry. It tries to take all of this information, hash it out, talk to experts, boil it down, and then come back to fleets and say, here's what we think you should be paying attention to coming down the road, and here's why we think you should be paying attention to it.
Yeah. So you've not been afraid to predict the future, and that's really kind of dangerous, and it's getting more challenging because with the digital world we live in, we can, you know, all go back in time and see what people said, right? And so, you know, as you look back over the last 10 or 20 years, anything you're really proud of that you were like, you know, when you wrote it, you thought it was, you know, a bold prediction and it actually had come true. And then maybe if the other side of the coin is, you got any times where you were been that you want to admit where you were woefully wrong?
Yeah, I think when you start talking about the future, you get more things wrong than you do right. You know, another good example of the technology revolution we've been in, one of the early stories I covered was the reintroduction of automated manual transmissions, essentially automated transmissions back into Class 8 vehicles. And I remember going to the early press conferences and, you know, the engineers were very modest. You know, they said, you know, we'd like to get one day to 50% take rates, you know, on new vehicles coming off the line with these new transmissions. And I remember at the time just thinking, I don't think I wrote this, but I remember at the time just thinking, oh, this is, you know, this industry is so conservative. This is never going to take off. And, you know, today, manufacturers and OEMs routinely report, you know, 90% take rates on automated transmissions coming off the line. And so to me, it's interesting when I look at that, you know, I was right there to see two new technologies premier in this industry. We had the first round of hybrid vehicles, and we had automated manual transmissions. And one technology fizzled, and the other succeeded way beyond anybody's expectations. And I think the lesson there is that timing, making sure you got a solid business model, making sure your customers and our readers understand what you're trying to do with the technology is absolutely vital. But at the same time, it's very interesting that even though the first hybrid trucks fizzled and automated manual transmissions were a hit, we were just barely dipping into what both of these technologies are capable of doing. We have not seen the last of hybrids. I'm convinced that mild or light hybrids will be a critical component in future Class 8, Class 6, and 7 powertrains going forward. And the automated manual transmission has just become a phenomenal and vital piece of technology. As anyone who knows anything about a truck powertrain knows, the AMT today is essentially the brains of any truck with any degree of automated systems, whether we're talking level 2, 3, 4, it is the transmission.
Completely agree. And, you know, we've, kind of in sort of the way we've talked about it, you know, we've had a smart engine for a while. Now we've got smart transmissions. And as they all make decisions and work to drive the truck, that's enabled other things like, you know, downspeeding at the levels we have would be completely impractical with a manual transmission. But with an automated manual, that downspeeding can be achieved, and we can see 2, 3, 4% fuel economy. And so these trucks, you know, there's the obvious aerodynamics and other things that you see that help deliver the fuel economy, but there's a bunch of hidden things that are kind of under the skin and embedded in the powertrains. I think I want to focus our time on where you see the trucking industry going with autonomy. And, this is a piece of work that NACFI's actually brought Jack on to help us with, and that is to explore autonomous trucking. And that's a big project with a lot, or big subject, right, with a lot of tentacles to safety and labor and fuel economy and operations and all kinds of things. So, Jack, when you came on to work on this, what were your thoughts? And tell the audience a little bit about how that's expanding as we speak.
Yeah, when I talk to people about autonomous, I think autonomy has been happening for a very long time in a lot of different industries. If you listen to any Bruce Springsteen songs, you know it's been going on in the manufacturing sector for a very long time, and people, you know, getting displaced by robots. So, but when it happened with something that we all do every day, which is getting in a motor vehicle and driving down the road, whether it's a private car or a commercial vehicle, I think that really rocked a lot of people back on their heels, because now we were seeing computers taking over something that we really, outside of the Jetsons or Blade Runner movies or something like that, had never really expected to see anything like that in our lifetimes. And then bam, there it was right in front of us. And so I think one way that I've sort of differentiated myself out there is, again, because I have a history degree and I've always been fascinated by how new technology can transform society, civilizations, armies, battles. History is just full of examples of technology winning out. I've always said from the get-go that this is coming. Now, I can't tell you with any degree of certainty how deep the dive into autonomous trucks will be. I can't tell you with any real certainty when the technology will become commonplace, but I can tell you today that in the near future, all of us will witness a car or truck driving down the road by itself without any human interaction or operator, and it will be as memorable an event for us as it was for my grandparents, who could tell you the first time they remembered vividly when they saw their first airplane in flight. It will be something along those lines for us. And so my argument has always been that this is coming. There's not going to be any way around it. Trucking is a fabulous industry, but it has some inherent problems. Driver shortages, hours of service, traffic congestion. And so the developers who are working on autonomous technology aren't just doing this because it's a party trick and it's kind of, hey, look what we can do. We can make a truck drive itself down the road. They're really trying to address some core inefficiencies and core productivity issues in the trucking industry and help fleets be more productive. So, you know, where it's going to go, how it's going to play out, I can't tell you with a high degree of certainty because the story changes all the time. But this is coming, and anyone who sort of, you know, waves their hand and just rolls their eyes at it is going to be on the wrong side of history when these systems do come online.
And I agree with you, and it's not going to be a revolution where all of a sudden all these trucks are driving. It's going to be extremely evolutionary. I had the chance to talk to, just to name one company, the founder of Starship, which, you know, they're on university campuses and a few other retirement communities and so forth with these little small robots. They're about the size of a big vacuum cleaner, and they run around delivering two bags of groceries or some medicine from a pharmaceutical or a hamburger and fries to a student who's reading, right? And if the thing gets locked up, it tries to, you know, or somebody kicks it over, it tries to write itself. If it can't, it dials a student who goes and, you know, turns it over. So that's that's not on our roads. It's not big, but it's a start where all of this sort of industry moves. And with what NACFI is trying to do here, that Jack's leading it for us, is what we're calling perspectives on autonomy. So we're kind of looking at, you know, maybe forklifts and yard tractors, and then kind of what's the progression here. So tell us a little bit about what you've been writing for that piece of work, Jack, and what's it been like thinking and talking to the industry about, you know, what autonomous trucking might be as we move forward?
Yeah, you know, my job right now at NAFSE is really to try and take all of these big, huge, massive storylines and try to explain it to potential end users, fleet executives, in a way that takes a lot of the mystery or the confusion out of the equation. You know, you made a great point about these smaller autonomous little delivery vehicles. I can envision a time in the very near future where we're sort of in what you always like to call a messy middle, where we're starting to see automation levels come up. And I've written before about a sick driver's coming down with strep throat. He's in the sleeper cab, maybe somewhere in New Mexico. And, you know, probably the wall of the sleeper will be an interactive computer screen, and you'll be able to get a doctor at 2 a.m. who will, you know, take your temperature. Maybe you hold your hand up to this little sensor in the screen, and, you know, they look at your throat. And then next thing you know, a little wheeled cooler robot rolls up to your sleeper, your truck, and you climb down and punch in a code, and, you know, you've got a prescription of antibiotics to knock this whatever you've got out. So when we talk about autonomous, it's not just going to be cars and trucks driving themselves down the road. It's really going to affect every single aspect of our lives. And so what I'm trying to do is paint a picture of the future for our readers, for NAFSE members, and sort of let them know that, yeah, there's a lot coming at us, and it seems like it's going to be more than you can handle. But in all likelihood, this is going to happen in evolutionary, manageable steps. We're already, you and I talk about this, Mike, we're already seeing signs that the OEMs now understand that the way to get people used to the idea of autonomous systems is to tie them in with driver safety and to sort of present them as driver aids. So now we have, you know, automated manual transmissions that can, you know, do active cruise control with active braking. We have anti-rollover systems, for example. We have steering assistance systems now. There's a whole host of automated systems that are becoming more and more commonplace on vehicles, and everything is geared toward helping the driver be more productive, be less fatigued, helping the vehicle and the fleet be safer. And so I think that's going to be the evolutionary track we're on. We'll take these in manageable bites, and then one day when we do see that truck by itself, it won't be quite as shocking as we initially thought it was going to be.
And so some areas of early adoption, early maybe being relative, but, you know, for our industry might be things like traffic jam assist, right? So, you know, we think about autonomous trucking at 70 mile an hour on the freeway, but what about not having to, or helping the driver with, going around Chicago or Atlanta at 10, 15 mile an hour, 5 mile an hour, with that effort. I mean, many of the people listening know that my wife and I are full-time RVers with a big pickup truck and a rather large fifth wheel. And, you know, driving through congested towns where you got to worry about the car jumping in front of you and everything, when you've got a big truck and trailer, it is very tough work. And so if we could automate that, hooking up, you know, dropping and hooking or backing into a dock, that can really be a driver assistance tool. So here we're just not talking about eliminating driver jobs, right, Jack? I mean, we're looking at all kinds of ways along that path to add value with autonomy.
You know, the Chicago example is a great way to present this, Mike. I mean, at the very basic level of what vehicles can do now, imagine you're in that Chicago traffic and you're tired and it's bumper to bumper, the horns, the whole thing. And so you just activate your active cruise control in autonomous mode. On the Freightliner truck, it's a control very much like cruise control on the steering wheel. You just activate it. You take your feet off the pedals. You take your hands off the steering wheel, and you relax, and you just let the truck work itself through traffic. Very basic autonomous capability right there, with obvious benefits for the driver, who reduces his stress level, reduces her fatigue. Now, let's take it a step further. Let's imagine that a certain number of vehicles on that same stretch of road have vehicle-to-vehicle communications and vehicle-to-infrastructure communications. Imagine in that traffic jam now, if the traffic lights associated with that road were saying, gosh, we've got a high level of volume of vehicles on the road right now. The traffic flow is going south out of the city because it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So what we're going to do now is we're going to start holding the southbound green lights, traffic lights green for, I don't know, 30 seconds longer each cycle to expedite the flow of traffic out of the city. Now, imagine how much that eases congestion and gets traffic moving. And then start thinking about the vehicles are communicating to each other. So, hey, this car in front of me needs to move over to the far right lane because it needs to take this next exit ramp. And the other cars just sort of naturally let that vehicle move over without impeding the flow of traffic any more than absolutely necessary. And when you start thinking about a choreographed, very, very productive way of moving vehicles around in a logical system, then you really start to understand some of the power that this technology will have for us one day.
It's good that we got started here on this autonomy. We could spend hours on it, and it's really the reason we have this new webpage on NACFI.org, the emerging technologies and autonomy. Jack, before we leave, can you give us some advice, or give the listeners some advice you'd have as you help the industry take a look at, you know, maybe some things that are real transformational, and you know, again, maybe they'll scale and maybe they won't, or maybe they'll, you know, come back later in a new generation. But how do you think the industry should best handle all this innovation? And you got any like specific thoughts for us?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have a two-part answer when someone asks me this. The first thing I would do is I would tell fleet executives to be open-minded. Don't just immediately just wave your hand. Let's go back to my example of the first hybrid trucks that Eaton and Navistar brought out 20 years ago now, you know. And when you look at something like that and you go, well, that's kind of interesting, but it doesn't really fit my application or what we need a truck to do. Just add right now to the end of that sentence. Understand that you're looking at a new technology that is just coming on the scene. And understand that whatever its capabilities or limitations are at the moment, they won't always be that way. That technology is going to evolve. So, you know, what started out as, you know, this weird hybrid truck that I looked at 20 years ago, well, now we're having serious conversations about Class 8 all-electric tractor trailers running across this country in the very near future. So you see how this technology can grow and evolve. And just kind of keep an attitude along those lines. And then that goes in hand with what I also tell fleets is find somebody in your organization who seems to have an aptitude for this technology and is interested in it, and designate that person as your company's technology officer. And it doesn't have to be a whole lot of extra work, But you just go to them and say, look, you're in charge of keeping an eye on what's coming down the pipeline. The rest of us are busy. We've got a million alligators and whack-a-moles we've got to deal with every day. And we know you do too, but we expect you to stay up to breast on what's going on. And, you know, every, you know, once, twice, four times a year, tell us what's going on. Tell us what's interesting. Tell us what products look you think look particularly promising and what we should start thinking about in terms of one day adopting this technology and putting it to use for us. And, you know, so there's really not a lot of heavy lifting fleets need to do right now. We're in the educational and informational stage of things. But make no mistake, things are going to start happening very soon, very quickly. And the fleets that are thinking about this technology and preparing for it, even in a very, very minimal way right now, are going to be light years ahead of their competition.
You know, every technology has its perfect fit early adopters. And so there are, though, those who on the technologies we've been talking about, from electric to automation to hybrids to other things, who are not only thinking about it, but implementing right now. So, hey, I got to close it out there. Great talking to you, Jack. And thanks for helping the industry with the future and also NACFI in particular with this perspective on autonomous trucking. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mark. Enjoyed it.
Freight Efficiency with NACFI's Mike Rothenfrenz.